You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the January 21st edition of PFF Forecast. It's going to be a great episode. We're going to talk about this Chiefs-Bills game that we just watched, and then we're going to get into it. Championship round, guess the lines. We're going to talk about both matchups, talk about best to place. It's going to be a great show. We will also, don't worry, we're going to talk about the decisions made in this game, including why NFL head coaches do not know how time works. It's going to be a great show. We got Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes both played, I would say, incredible football. And yet the game came down to Mecole Hardman and DeMar Hamlin. Tell us, what do we think here? Initial, like, we just watched that game. The thing that is stuck in your mind right now, having just watched it. Brad, we'll start with you.
Yeah, man, I think it does go to that. Like, the Chiefs still in the red zone just continue to do – like, the one time you just give Isaiah Pacheco the ball, I'm going to run up the middle behind Joe Tooney. Like, shockingly, that works out quite well. And then you're getting cute again. And it just – it's been the story for them the entire year, shooting themselves in the foot with that stuff. Yeah, I mean, Mecole Hardman should not be playing. Like, you know, with all due respect.
Yeah, from, like – I mean, yeah, from a game management perspective, like, both – teams were really bad.
Yeah.
Andy choosing to take the 5 yards on the encroachment on the PAT. He chose to take on the kickoff. My guy, your offense is averaging 10 yards a play, and you can't even trust them to get 1 yard. Pacheco's been running all over this Buffalo defense. You can't even. I'm pretty sure that was the drive that he had, the like 20 yard run also. Mm-hmm. Can't even trust him to get 1 yard for a 2-point conversion.
But here's the thing, Arjun. Here's the thing. It was a smart move by Andy. You know why? If he had gone for two, they would have been up by four. And then Sean McDermott might have had to actually try and score. This is inexcusable. Okay. I know I was on one last night, okay, with the Niners. I'm on one again tonight. You cannot be paid millions of dollars and not understand or have someone hired on your staff that understands the basic principles of time management and game theory. I just do not understand it. How you play for one possession in that situation with 8 minutes on the clock, 8 minutes on the clock, go down and score quickly. Give yourself more opportunities to win the game. They gave themselves one opportunity to tie the game. They did not even try. It was embarrassing. I have been a believer in the Bills, a believer in Sean McDermott, because everyone was fading him. That was the equivalent of walking into a pregame speech and talking about 9/11. That's what that was. That was absolute mismanagement and disaster. Josh Allen, there's someone in the chat that said Josh Allen deserves better. That is the takeaway. His receivers were ass, except for Khalil Shakir. Trent Sherfield had two stone cold drops. Stephon Diggs has disappeared. Where's Stephon Diggs? What was that? Have you seen
him? I mean, the bomb hit him in the hands.
Yeah, and no. Then he had the audacity to do this to Josh Allen. Like, no, it could have been a little bit better. No, my guy, it hit that. You right here.
I didn't see that either.
He's out.
I tweeted about it. I tweeted about it because I was like, what are you doing? Like, that hits you in the shoulder over the, like, perfect over the shoulder, 63 yards in the air. Go watch the broadcast and just watch that play again, because he literally did. Yeah, no, it was just, we were this close. Like, no, you just dropped it.
Josh Allen, he made some bad decisions throughout the year that people gave him crap for. He had the fumble in this game, but other than that, he was really, really dynamite. I mean, he had three deep shots that should have hit. He ran the ball all over the field. Thought he deserved better. Let's talk about the Chiefs here for a second. The Bills came in pretty banged up. Are you buying the Chiefs' offensive resuscitation, which has seemingly happened over the last two games?
To a degree, yes. I do think it's interesting to where I know Jadeveon Clowney and, you know, Kyle Van Noy have had like career years. Obviously, Odafe always a good player, but the tackles, like in this game, there was some Rousseau pressure. He had a near sack where Mahomes kind of threw it out of bounds. But like, I think in some ways they probably still could hold up. Obviously, the middle of the field, the linebackers in particular, you're going from with the injuries, you know, probably one of the weaker units. I mean, AJ Klein was on the couch like 2 weeks ago. And honestly, like, for the most part, held up. He got cooked a couple times by Travis Kelce, but like, he wasn't that bad. And then you're going to maybe the best or one of the best, you know, linebacker duos. I guess Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw probably take that title, but Roquan and Patrick Queen are not far behind. So like, they're still just so reliant on attacking the middle of the field with Rashee and Kelce. The big thing that I would say no also is, like, Marquez Valdes-Scantling had the one game you get a playoff for, like, he has an awesome game. Like, we saw it last year. In the, what was it, the championship game last year, he had like 120. Yeah, like, and I'm not saying he can't do it again, but history would suggest, like, he made a bunch of, like, impressive throws downfield over the shoulder. He had the one that he kind of bobbled that, like, usually he doesn't catch. Like, he had, you got the MVS game, and I don't know if you're going to get it again, especially with the state, you know, Geno Stone and those guys in the back end in Baltimore. So I'm buying that they're different than the regular season Chiefs. I'm not buying they can score 30 on a good Ravens defense.
Yeah, and I think, like, if we think about the way you have to beat the Ravens, it's like they're weakest at their cornerback positions. Marlon Humphrey's out. He's probably going to be back next week. But, like, then you have, like, Ronald Darby. You have, like, Arthur Maulet. Like, you need your receivers to kind of step up, because they're going to put Kyle Hamilton on Travis Kelce, and that's probably not going to be a good matchup. You're going to put Roquan Smith on Travis Kelce. Like, Rashee Rice can only do so much, and you're going to need one of these secondary receivers to step up. And we all, you know, pretty much know no one has or can. So, yeah, I don't really know what the path forward is for the Chiefs against the Ravens. I mean, they're such a good matchup for them, or the Ravens are a great matchup for the Chiefs. And so, yeah, I'm like Brad said, I'm buying that it's a different unit than we saw against the Raiders on Christmas, but it's still – it still has some underlying issues.
I think in order to buy the Chiefs, it's one thing to buy Mahomes. I'm definitely buying Mahomes. I was never selling Mahomes. Although early in the game, he made a couple of throws in the red zone that were off target and should have been touchdowns. Here's the question I have for you guys. AJ Klein is a bottom what coverage linebacker in the NFL?
And again, to be nice to the guy, like, he legitimately was retired like a month ago. But like, I'm going to answer and be cheeky as we always are. No, he is in the fifth percentile or lower of, like, purely coverage. I think it's like, yeah, that might be somewhat generous.
Oh, the fact that he was on the field, that's a great point, Brad. And I didn't mean it in that way. Like,
this
is in no way a derogatory term towards AJ Klein, who, by the way, like, rolled an ankle and was back out on the field a play after. Let me be clear. A gutsy ass performance by AJ Klein. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was like, I mean, Jason Kelce looked pretty robust, you know, standing up there. Like, him out there covering Travis Kelce might have been a better move for them. So, you know, MVS, I don't think is going to catch another, you know, another pass quite, you know, the way he did in this game. So I'm hesitant. I think it really set up well for them, both these two games, for their position, skill position players to show up, which I think they did. Now, they got nothing out of Justin Watson today. He had a drop in this game. Probably should have made that catch. He's usually good for one, like, 30-yarder down the football field. They obviously can't play Mecole Hardman. They can't play Kadarius Toney. Rashee Rice got banged up in this game. I think, you know, you saw, we called this, right? We talked about it. He runs a drag route, catches it, goes 20 yards. Like, this is, you know, that's what he does. Let's just get into it. Let's start the first game that will be next week at 3:30 Eastern time is Baltimore and Kansas City. This one in Baltimore, it will be, what is it? The seventh straight Patrick Mahomes AFC championship game. Brad, we'll start with you. What did you make?
He's never not made an AFC championship game in his career. Truly preposterous. I had field goal. I couldn't go over in either direction. Just a flat 3 points.
I also want a field goal.
Yeah, I thought this was the easy one to guess. I don't know how you make it anything other than a field goal, although ESPN Bet assuredly will try, as they did this week with some very different lines out there. So if you are looking right now, you can probably find – I saw actually someone tweeted that they were at 3.5.
George, okay. It's funny you mentioned the ESPN Bet. I'm on PointsBet right now, and that's literally the only – website that has it at three. It's juiced, obviously, but you know.
Yeah. So what are you saying? Because I'm looking on in the beta right now. It doesn't have anything up.
DraftKings is 3.5, but it's plus 120 to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to find it.
I mean, minus 120. Sorry.
Yeah. ESPN Bet has it plus 3, but it's minus 120 to the Ravens.
Yeah. And FanDuel has KC plus 3.5 at minus 122. Ravens minus 3.5 at plus 100. Okay, so let's say that's where it's opening at. It's basically 3.5, heavily juiced. I'm not going to open up the spreadsheet here because we don't need to figure this one out. I'll open it up after we get to the second game. What do you guys think?
For the second game or for this game?
I'll get the spreadsheet open by the time we get to the second game. What do we think about 3.5 minus 120? For the Chiefs, plus 100 for the Ravens.
Yeah, so, I mean, Baltimore was definitely good in the Houston game. There's no question about it. I am trying to navigate, like, for Detroit as well. I'm not trying to take away anything from any team, maybe even San Francisco. Like, a lot of the teams, all these teams, besides Kansas City, like, who won a big playoff game against a team that, like, preseason priors we thought was a contending team, right? Like, not taking away what they did. They, like, obviously, teams can outperform and over, achieve expectations. But, like, San Fran beat, you know, the Packers team was an upshot. Like, they played great. They honestly, the Packers outplayed the Niners in that game. But, you know, is it a huge win? Not really. Detroit, all right, you know, the Rams were awesome. But again, like, preseason, we were betting on their, like, under 6.5 wins. And then the Bucs, we also probably were betting on their. And again, we're wrong. I'm not, you know, but so that part's tough to me. And just like how to price what we've watched, and like Kansas City just won a big game over a good team on the road. I lean my guy Mahomes getting over a field goal. I think I just have to do it.
Yeah, I'm taking the Chiefs here. I mean Pat at 3.5, like that's I feel like an auto bet, or at least for me. I think like. We saw the type of pocket manipulation from Mahomes today. I mean, I don't know how many times he's going to end up being charted as being pressured. But he took zero sacks. And the thing with the Ravens and Bills, like they are different defenses. The Bills, I think, are a team that likes to generally just rush four and let their guys figure it out while the Ravens manufacture pressure. But at the same time, I mean, the Kansas City offensive line, I think, has been the healthiest offensive line, like, in all of the NFL. I feel like if we look at like their offensive lineman combos, the same five will play like 96% of their snaps. So they're going to have the chemistry. They're going to have the communication to pass off these stunts, pass off the simulated pressures. And so I think Mahomes is going to have time. And I was somewhat convinced of their offense today. Like I said, I think it'll be much harder next week, but then also like, this is a pretty good Chiefs defense. And I think they did struggle against the run today, which is, you know, big against Lamar, but this is also like the most athletic linebacking room in the NFL. If you look at like Nick Bolton, Willie Gay, Drew Tranquil, these are like very hyper athletic linebackers, very light linebackers. Like Tranquil's a former converted safety, so I think they're gonna have the athleticism to keep up with Lamar, compared to the, you know, Texans, which are more like, you know, maybe built linebackers, guys that D'Amico Ryans would prefer. So I think the looks generally will slow down Lamar, and also like sorry, I'm rambling, but like we saw the Texans blitzes like fool Lamar in a big way in that first half. And now they did counter. But one of the things I looked at, and I tweeted about it during halftime, which obviously Lamar made me look like an idiot, but Lamar's efficiency against the blitz is like bottom 10 in the league. Like he is not a good quarterback versus five or more rushers. And Spags sends five or more rushers at like the top three rate in the NFL. So it's strength versus weakness. And I, you know, I think there are some things that the Chiefs offense can do to kind of put up points in this game. So yeah, we will be taking the Kansas City Chiefs in this game.
Okay. I hear you. I do hear you. I can't bring myself to do it. I think this is where the magic runs out a little bit. This defense, I think, is just a different beast than anything that they've seen thus far, right? There were clear weaknesses both the Dolphins and the Ravens, and the Bills had, right? Clear, glaring weaknesses. And Mahomes is going to take advantage of those, and he did in this game. There is no weakness on this Baltimore team from a defensive standpoint. Like I look at, and you can see this on pff.com, like you look across the board, it is green everywhere. There is no weakness anywhere to be found on this defense. And so I think this is just a very different matchup than the first two have been, where you felt as though the Chiefs had the edge. And I just don't feel that they have the edge in this game. I think that it becomes pretty easy for them. Maybe easy is the wrong word, but the difference between Kyle Hamilton and AJ Klein, or Roquan Smith and AJ Klein, Patrick Queen and AJ Klein, like, is so dramatic. I think that's going to nullify Kelsey a decent amount in this game. Rice being banged up, I'm not expecting anything out of Valdes-Scantling. So this is counterintuitive, but I like Baltimore in this. I'm not sure the right way to play it yet. The spread doesn't necessarily feel like the right way to do it. So I'm interested in whether you guys think there are any sort of prop angles here that you like sort of off the bat.
Ooh, yeah.
There's a huge one for me that we talked about for the Ravens-Texans game. It's the inverse this time. So I talked about Gus Edwards unders. I know I gave out, I think, under 39.5 alternate, and he hit 40. But, you know, we said under 53.5 was the actual line. 13.5 carries, both of those cashed comfortably. They were truly never in doubt. The reason why I love that bet was because the Ravens, like I said, lead the NFL in carries outside the tackles, or off tackle or outside the tackles. And they are first in EPA per rush and third in success rate on such carries. The Chiefs are dead last in the NFL in EPA per carry allowed on runs outside the tackles, and second worst in success rate. It's a massive, massive mismatch. So, you know, I don't know if it's Lamar, or if you do play, you try to pick Dalvin Cook or Gus Edwards or Justice Hill. But I think that the Ravens are going to run the ball a ton. Does that play into like bleeding the clock out and therefore maybe lean towards under? Like, those angles come to mind. I think the Ravens are going to run and we saw Josh Allen today too. You know, obviously scamper quite a bit. So the rushing props for Baltimore, the last piece I would say is, if you like Baltimore, you know, you get a little extra juice of, I think they're going to win. Maybe they'll be up, have a positive game script, and they'll be running even more. I think they're going to be very successful on the ground in this game.
Yeah, real quick, let me give a shout out to you two and Judah. Just an absolutely electric weekend for the pod. I think we were up 15.7 units from locks. To recap, Josh Allen over 8.5. I mean, that was just so free. Sam Laporta over 59.5. That was a sweat. Got there. Mike Evans, the George's guy, over 125 plus, 9-1. Just gorgeous. And there were so many Mike Evans tickets in the Discord that it was just beautiful to see. And then our guy Kittle, 80 plus, finishing at 81 plus 250. So great stuff from the pod. And then articles from last week should have gone 4-0, except Mahomes took a freaking 3-yard kneel.
What was that?
I think he would have ended up below anyway, it was a great weekend for the pod. So we should be back in the green, I think, at least.
A deep, deep kneel. Yeah, Mike Evans came through. It could have been, we could have been celebrating. If he had gotten to 150, it would have been very close for me to a sponsored Vegas event for the printing press. That would have been very, very close. So too, if Trent Sherfield could have caught one of those deep
runs. Oh, yeah.
I think Judah had a few on there as well. Actually, what I like here is I like Ravens -1.5 first half is where my head is at. I think 3.5 is tough. It is. I need to show some reverence to Mahomes. So I'm going to take Ravens first half -1.5 here because I do feel good about the Ravens. The rushing attack is interesting. I also, you know, this might seem blasphemous. I'm very curious to see where the Kelce line ends up. You know, whether the books kind of buy into him having a good game and thinking he's back. And I think that could be a fade spot as well. Edwards, I think, very interesting. Lamar, interesting, maybe potentially as a rushing attempt number as well. Is something that also comes to mind. I'm also curious about MVS. So we talked about Mecole before the pod, RJ. You mentioned that for some reason Mecole Hardman's prop was like 17.5. I got it 18.5. Mm-hmm. With Stone Cold Lock of the Week. I will be very curious to see what MVS comes out after this game. Like, to me, that's a potential auto under.
I take Mecole under receiving yards down to under 0.5 for next year.
Yeah, I wonder if I'm actually going to be curious if he even shows up on as a federal option. If someone finds a stray Mecole line out there, please put it in the chat.
Alert the Discord.
there's no way. I thought after his first carry, there was no, or his first touch, there was no way he got a second one. And sure enough, he did. And it was almost catastrophic. I think the other thing that's really interesting here is the difference in rest. Obviously, the Ravens coming into this relatively healthy. Rashee Rice got a little banged up. Was there anyone else that got banged up? Willie Gay, right? So Willie Gay did get.
The big one is actually Joe Tooney. And it's a pec injury. So I'm honestly, I just saw that after I gave my whole spiel. I'm going to assume he's out for the Chiefs because I don't think pec injuries are something it's easy to come back from.
Yeah, that would not be good. Brad, you put in here, you're taking Baltimore?
No, that's KC +3.5. Oh. Yeah. Me and Arjun are riding. The tuning injury is not great. I wonder if Wandy Morris kicks inside the guard or if they have they still have Nick Allegretti. I don't know who their backup guards are.
I think it'd be Allegretti.
Who's a solid swing guard then? Tooney's a stud. And in this game in particular, had a bunch of pull blocks that were unleashing Pacheco and our boy Clyde. Clyde the Glide was moving out there too. So that is a big loss. Tooney's one of the best guards in football, but I think they'll be okay there. Honestly, this is probably the matchup of the two best D coordinators in the NFL too. I think we don't talk about Spags in that light, and we probably should. They have talent, but they're just drafting fourth round corners and just making it work. And Mike Dana's a good player now. The Lamar thing, when you mentioned that he's not great against five plus rusher, does he take off a lot? Would you think it would lean into even more scrambling for Lamar or?
Yeah, I'd have to look into some of the data. His EPA is low. So I think scrambles are usually a positive EPA play. So it's not an EPA per attempt, it's EPA per dropback.
Yeah.
So it is including scrambles. So the fact that it is so low. And even I think we saw it when he would get blitz, it's just retreat back, and then just take a sack. So
yeah.
I think that'll be something to look into.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, anything else on this game before we move on to the NFC?
We should talk about it because it's the theme of the pod, and I actually want to talk about it for the next game too. There is the Harbaugh versus Andy Reid game management edge. It does exist. Which I think more and more needs to be a factor, especially in these kind of half-point situations. I know Harbaugh has kind of come back, regressed toward the mean a little bit. I think he, when appropriate and in certain spots, I think he does it more. He's just been a little bit more conservative. But, Andy Reid, legend, maybe the greatest offensive mind of all time. But he's, right up there with the other worst game managers in the biz. And it does pop up here and there. And they've gotten away with it in a lot of games. This is a game where, they're not getting away with, throwing away a field goal or something like that. With not using the end of half or something. They're not getting away with that in this type of game, I don't think.
I would agree with you. The thing that about that is, I guess I feel like Harbaugh's come back to earth.
Yeah.
This season a little bit, so you know that comes to mind. But yeah, it definitely is a very, very, very good point. By the way, I was seeing that Kelsey's at 63.5, so it didn't go up a whole lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be interested where receptions come in. I don't know. That could be Wednesday. That could be a fade. How much does the coaching advantage play into this for you, Arjun?
Well, I mean, I think it does play into it just because I feel like I've seen Todd Monken and Mike McDonald adjust like their offenses mid-season, mid-game. And I think that's a big thing. It's like, oh, even if the Ravens are, you know, maybe they fall behind early, like I would bet the Ravens live because I've seen Todd Monken be able to, you know, shred a defense post halftime. Like we saw it in the Houston game. We kind of saw it in the Niners game when, you know, they started off kind of slow and then they picked it up and then it was just a blowout. And so, yeah, I think from a game management point, like Brad talked about, I think that's a big thing. And I mean, honestly, Harbaugh hasn't been that great with it this season, but I think in the playoffs, you'll definitely lean on Lamar more. And I think he knows that, like, you know, you got to put the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, we on to the NFC. NFC Championship, Detroit, Jared Goff versus San Francisco and Joe Montana. Weather report for this game, because apparently rain turns Brock Purdy into a literal pumpkin. It is supposed to be mid-60s, no rain in San Francisco for this game. Also, it will not be raining in Vegas when the Super Bowl comes around. That game is going to be indoors. So that means Brock Purdy will be Joe Montana for the entire game. That's at least how I understand how this thing works. Brad, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I thought about going full touchdown, but couldn't do it. I ended up just at 6.5.
I went 6.5 as well.
I was going to go 7.5. The Debo news, or lack thereof, I think is fairly concerning. So I went with 7. I was not about to give Jared Goff on the road outdoors the 6.5 there. It looks like in most spots, it is either a 7 or a pretty heavily juiced 6.5. Or I guess it's juiced regardless. So the 7 I see at FanDuel is Lions 7, plus 7, minus 120, Niners minus 7, minus 102. So either way, you're dealing with some juice. You guys are both on the Detroit side. Are you taking Detroit with the 7?
The better quarterback is getting points in this game.
Oh no.
Don't let David Lombardi hear that.
Let it be known. Let it be known that Arjun, let's count the number of times. I think we have some Slack metrics here that we've got to share. Number of sent into Slack. Jared Goof. Arjun in the lead at 45 this season.
I take the over on that. I take way over on that line. Yeah. Actually, real quick though, do you know Jared Goff's 10-yard split before I break this down? You guys know?
I've heard it's very, very similar to Lamar Jackson's.
Yeah, yeah. Joe Montana with Lamar Jackson's 10-yard split. Does it get any better than that? I've been talking myself into a little bit the idea that the Lions are probably the best matchup that the Niners were going to get out of the NFC. The run defense aspect is huge. You know, if they're able to put Brock Purdy in, you know, unfavorable situations after what we saw in that game where he was really, really poor. And I get the weather was bad. I mean, Jared Goof, speaking of guys that struggle in weather, it benefits both guys in this scenario. But like I have been talking myself into that notion, but it's just like we sat here and just were like, yeah, Mike Evans is going to go for $125. It was like, I just still struggle to like see who is going to be covering. I know Debo might be out, but who's going to cover Ayuk? Who's going to cover? I think they'll do okay with Kittle, but attack the middle of the field, those linebackers like Anzalone struggled in coverage today. Jack Campbell still not really a full-time guy quite yet. You know, Barnes had the pick to close it out, but I do think this is the best matchup the Niners could have gotten in this game. I don't know. I don't want to overanalyze it, and I just think they're still a class above the Detroit Lions right now.
The I'm not taking the spread here. Reason for that, but I have two props that I love. Okay. Now I think everyone is anticipating that I'm going to say Ayuk because I love Mike Evans. Okay? I can see it already. People think so. No. Don't worry. I'm not that predictable. You just mentioned the linebackers, Brad. So I think that Samuel. I think here's my prognosis. I think there's a 50-50 chance he plays. I think if he plays, there's maybe a 30% chance he stays and plays the whole game. Okay. I think if he goes out there, I think it's, you know, he gives it a couple tries. I don't think they need Deebo Samuel to win this game, as blasphemous as that may sound. Okay. The linebackers you mentioned cannot cover. This is the Christian McCaffrey through the air game. Rashad White was wide open all the time. He could have easily had 10 catches in this game. To me, this is the Christian McCaffrey through the air game. His total right now at 33.5 receiving yards on FanDuel. You can get alts. You can get, for example, 50 plus at plus 220, 60 plus, plus 320. You can get a combo rushing and receiving, I think, is at like 111, I want to say. Let me find it right now. Yeah, so his rushing total is at 81.5. Okay, so 120.5 is his combo. I really like receiving. Now, on the other side of this, the reason I'm not running to take the Niners -7 is I don't know if you saw Aaron Jones in that game. Aaron Jones looked like Barry Sanders against the Niners. The player that's going to look like Barry Sanders in this game is Jahmyr Gibbs. Dave Montgomery is dragging a weight sled behind him when he runs the football. Jahmyr Gibbs total right now, 44.5. David Montgomery's is 52.5. I don't know if the bookmakers decided to just forget to watch this game, but Jahmyr Gibbs clearly the better running back. He's clearly the better running back. They are going to give him the ball. 44.5 is way too low. I love both props. Not quite as much as I love Mike Evans last week, but I think those are very, very clear mismatches for both sides.
Couldn't love more. I mean, go ahead.
You stole my prop, George. I was going to talk about Gibbs, 44.5. You know, I guess the one thing I was looking at, I was doing some numbers on it. I mean, Jones, yeah, 18, 108, average 6 yards a carry. You know, 53 of that 108 did come on one run. You take that away, and he only averaged 3.2 yards a carry. But I still think the Lions have the trench advantage in this game. At least, all right, I think it's even. I think like Sewell on Bosa, and then you have Decker, whatever, and you know, Jonah Jackson. I think the marginal decrease in productivity is not going to be that big.
Ragnow's the big one, but Ragnow,
and he came back in. That, yeah. He is the huge one, but he should play in this game.
He should play. If he came back in, then he should play. But yeah, I think like
they're gonna put so much tape. He's gonna have so many shots, dude. That there's you would need to literally break his leg off for him not to play.
It looked terrible.
Yeah.
So I think like. It's tough to project volume, and you know I get annoyed sometimes with how much they run David Montgomery, but yeah, I mean I think the Lions, the Ben Johnson should just know this is the game. This is why you drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. This is where you give him the 60-70 yard 70% snap share, and yeah, I think 44.5 is a little too low. And I think like Gibbs and Aaron Jones are very stylistically similar, just very quick, have that quick acceleration, great contact balance, and I think a lot of resources will be devoted to stopping Laporte and Amon-Ra. I think that should open up things on the ground.
It's actually very interesting to me. On FanDuel, they have listed the CMC receiving, but they have not put any of the receivers out there, which makes me think that they somehow have allocated like target share by position or unit or group or something like that. And great comment here about CMC. Like, obviously, the targets are going to be distributed across all of the pass catchers. And so, you know, if Deebo is out, it's not as if his targets are only going to be redistributed against or to the wide receivers, right? It's going to go to the entire group of pass catchers. I think CMC likely there. And he had 51 and 64 receiving yards, respectively, when Debo's out. I like the alt. I'm probably going to play the latter, similar to what I did with what's his name, with Evans. So 40 is plus 126, 50 plus, plus 220, 60 plus, plus 350, so on and so forth. Other props potentially that we like here, Brad, anything that sticks out to you?
The Gibbs one was going to be also mine, so I'm glad all three of us saw it the same way. Yeah, for no doubt about it. On the flip side, looking at the Niners, I love the McCaffrey shout. I do. I also do, now that I think about it more, I do like Kittle again. I just think that there is going to be a focal point there of maybe like he'll get some branch on him or even some, you know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, but he's just big. I mean, he's way, way bigger than those dudes. And honestly can run in probably in stride with a branch. Like, so I think they attack the middle of the field again. They, you know, get the ball out pretty quickly to avoid Aiden Hutchinson and the gang. And yeah, I think Kittle will have some tunnel screens, some check down stuff too. Like that, there was the stretch where Purdy struggled, the three-game losing streak. When they kind of came out of that, and it was their bye was that time, like they were just feeding Kittle in some of those games. It was like just easy, you know, easy completions first half. Like Kittle became a guy for a month where it was just like, let's just get the ball and just let Purdy not have a lot of difficult throws early on in these games. I think maybe we see some of that in this game.
No, it's a really good point. I think the interesting thing with Kittle, so he's our highest graded tight end this year. I feel like he has been amazing, but has not gotten a lot of fanfare. Certainly less than like Ayuk, Samuel, CMC. He's played just as well as all those guys. I'm interested in what you guys think about this. Brock Purdy's passing yardage total, 265 and a half. I probably would have opened it at somewhere in the 240s. 265 and a half, even for Joe Montana, feels a little high to me. Now, I know that the Lions, a pass funnel, right? They have stopped the run much better than they have stopped the pass.
They stopped the pass?
What?
You said they stopped the pass.
No, I said they stopped the run way better than they've attempted, I should say, to stop.
Yeah.
they have not done any of that, as shown by Baker Mayfield. But it's interesting. Like, do the Niners throw to win here? And is there an angle to that? You know, maybe taking Brock alts with a Niners alt could be interesting.
They have to. They really do. I mean, the Lions thing, they've done it against all different kinds of rushing opponents. I'm going to keep mentioning the kind of point of attack stuff. I've been looking at various different elements, different rushing scheme. The Lions run defense is just very, 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 very good. So I think they'd be crazy. And I know we can't coach our bets and coach Kyle Shanahan. You know, we are going to get some like run pass series to start this game. And George is going to be tilting in all caps in the group chat in the first quarter. But I think they're gonna accept the play action and like just attack second level over these linebackers' heads. And I think really start to throw the ball a ton as the game. And like when you know you're playing Dan Campbell in this Lions team, like I think you just know to a degree that like they're trying to score seven in every possession. You want to build a big lead, a comfortable lead. Like I think teams are starting to approach how they played them a little bit differently. I actually should shout out, we should be positive going back to our initial conversation. And we talk about the coaching stuff a lot, and people are like, well, these guys don't change. Todd Bowles deserves some credit. Like, he again went for a fourth down today. He went for 2-down-8 in this game. Honestly, Mike Evans probably should have gotten a call there. Like, Melifonu never turned around. But anyway, like, he is using like optimal game theory, and that he never did that. Like, Jets Todd Bowles wouldn't even know what we're talking about. And like, he has totally kind of adapted. But I think you also do see teams play Detroit that way. So yeah, long answer short, I think Shanahan's going to get it. Like, you have to throw on this team. They can't stop the pass.
Yeah. The other interest, I don't know if this is interesting, but like, Lions haven't allowed a 70 yard rusher all season. McCaffrey's rushing prop is 82.5. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Like, I'm not one to just bet on trends like that. You know, the Rams have a very similar run scheme. Or no, actually, I take that back. But yeah, they haven't, you know, Lions are really dedicated to stopping the run first and then allowing teams to pass all over them. So if you are to play Purdy, if a little 300 plus and McCaffrey under 82.5, like, I think that there could be value there. I don't know what how priced in the correlation is going to be there, but like, I think that's another angle you could look at, like, you know, receiving yard overs with rushing unders for McCaffrey.
Yeah, let's see here. Let me try and put this together. So Purdy 300 plus, Let's do a CMC 50 plus receiving and then rushing under with Niners just by 7. That's not even that great. 32-1 is what that gets you.
Yeah, it's, I feel like you could be better there, especially with, since we have two alt lines.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not the end of the world. I do think that's an interesting move. You could also take under attempts potentially. For CMC is another way to think about it. But yeah, the way to win this game is through the pass. So makes a lot of sense. Super Bowl line here. What do you guys think? Let's do it AFC versus NFC.
I think AFC is laying points regardless of the outcomes here. I do, even with the Niners. I think it would be like Chiefs minus 1.5 against the Niners, I suppose. But yeah, I'll say AFC minus 2.5. Minus full 3. AFC minus a full 3.
Yeah, I'd go 2.5. I can't get to 3, but I think 2.5 is a good line.
I think the Niners are favorites against either team. I think it's 2.5, 3 maybe. I think the Lions are 3-point underdogs to either KC or Baltimore.
Yeah, I feel like the Lions might even be like 3.5, 4 against Baltimore. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would agree there. But the Baltimore Ravens matchup is very scary for the Lions, whereas I'm not even sure the Chiefs is like that scary of a matchup, because the Chiefs could not stop the run today.
No.
Absolutely could not. And by the way, I mean, that was the opening game of the season, right? The Lions ran all over them. So, like, if you're a Detroit fan, you are a huge Kansas City fan. In that game, right? If you're watching that game first, obviously, like, I think the Lions, assuming the Lions win, like, they have a real shot to win the Super Bowl, which is crazy to say, if the Chiefs can pull it off. I'm surprised you think the AFC is a favorite over the Niners.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't say that. I just probably overreacting to the game last night. Like, we talked about it. I can't believe they even won that game last night. So no, you're right. I mean, they were laying 5.5 in San Fran against Baltimore 6 weeks ago. Or whatever it was. So, no, they probably would still be a favorite. The Lions, the point on the Chiefs, I do think is a good point from a rushing game perspective. The only thing I would say is, you know, just because of how bad their pass defense is, not that Lamar is not a good passer, but he's not Patrick Mahomes.
No, he is not. That is for sure. I don't see any ways to bet the Super Bowl. Obviously, you can bet the Super Bowl futures. But right now, it's Niners plus 140, Ravens plus 210. Chiefs plus 320, and the Lions are plus 750. I don't know if any of those actually offer any odds over just betting consecutive money lines and rolling it over. But those are the odds as of this this moment on FanDuel Sportsbook. All right. Those are the two games. Any last thoughts? We'll be back on Wednesday, obviously, talk through everything. But I guess before we bid everyone adieu tonight, any final thoughts, guys? Nope, just Mecole. Just, we got to get Mecole some touches.
Get Mecole some more touches.
Yeah, yep. That's actually a good point. Before we break here, let's see if there are any receiving props. Nope, just Kelsey. Just Kelsey. But we'll have an eagle eye out for MVS and Mecole Hardman. See if we can find some unders. We'll be back on Wednesday night. Obviously, Judah will join us. We'll try and hit a 1,500 to 1 once again. Try and get ourselves to Vegas. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We love you all. Enjoy the night, and we will see you guys on Wednesday. Peace.